Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Well, church, great to be here, 8 a.m. Awesome to be here. Our final week of our Relationships Tune-Up series. And before we get into today, I just want to put up a quote on the screen. This is actually Pastor Chaz, if you're here, who was here last week? When we had Dr. Chaz. He used this quote last week because he brought a powerful message on how to impact our families. And it simply says this, this is Mother Teresa, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. And I know for me last week, that really challenged me. And then I found myself in Connect Group on Thursday night with a bunch of men watching Unsung Hero. Anyone seen that in the movies yet? If you haven't seen it, incredible movie about a family who went to the States. Just look, honestly, if you haven't seen this movie, go and see it with your family. Just go and see it. But at the end of the movie, this quote came up again. And you know how you have those moments where you're like, it just keeps on speaking. I mean, I was a blubbering mess. We had about eight guys in our Connect group, all in the back row at Victoria Point. We're all crying, like, I'm not crying, you're crying, you know. But this powerful, powerful message that Dr. Chaz brought last week was about, if you want to love, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. If you didn't hear the pod, if you weren't here, go and download the podcast from last week. I know it's going to impact you and your family in a really powerful way. But there's other things that Dr. Chaz talked about last week about bringing, going back to the table with your family and speaking life into your family and a whole bunch of things. But one of the core things was this idea of love and how to love people well. And I know the core of our faith as Christians, it's like we're supposed to love God and love people like we love ourselves. And sometimes that word love is a very loaded word. In the time of 2024, it's a very loaded word. We're going to have a look at this about how God wants to change our hearts today and he wants to stir us up and do something in us today so we can go out and make a difference in the Redlands, in our families, and actually make a difference in the world. So let's pray. God, I thank you for today's message. I thank you for the challenge that's going to be brought. God, I pray that you would speak through your word. May your word illuminate in our hearts today. God, may we be challenged to love like you love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, as some of you might know, I'm not just the pastor at this church. One of the things I do in the week is I actually work in schools. I work with a lot of teenagers and I do sort of programs that are retreat and reflection days, a lot within the Catholic space. And over the last decade, I've actually been doing this. But in recent days, I've actually been asked to go and do PD days, personal development days, for the teachers and the educators. So actually working with them and actually presenting similar sort of ideas. And what I've found is that no matter what age, some of these messages strike home. It doesn't matter if I'm talking to teenagers or adults. We all have the same kind of issues or the same sort of stuff we need to work on. And recently I was at a school where I did a twilight PD, which was from 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock, okay? And as if you're, anyone teachers here? Any teachers here? Put up your hand if you're a teacher, really high, okay? Who knows at 3 o'clock you want to go home? Right? Like you want to go home at 3 o'clock. That's the whole point of signing up to be a teacher, right? Shorter days, school holidays, all that kind of thing. And I was at this school and this school decided to have me from 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock. So all the teachers had to go straight into a session listening to this random guy for a PD. And I walk in and all these teachers are coming in looking very happy to be there. And this one lady in particular, she sits down in the back row, okay? Arms crossed. Looking extremely happy to be there. And I thought, you know, before I kick in, I'm going to go say hello to this lady because she looked like she could kill someone, right? And so I went and said hello to her before I got started, introduced myself and said, how are you? And she's like, good. And I'm like, well, clearly. And so, and I said, oh, you know, do you enjoy your job? She goes, not really. And then within 2 minutes, she just spewed out how much she hates her life. Like, I mean, you know, like one of those moments where you're like, well, maybe I should have asked. Like, you know, like maybe I'll go back to the front. But she just starts pouring out all the problems and why do we have to do this session? And she's saying, I hope you haven't brought butcher paper. I said to her, I have no butcher paper. She goes, oh, okay, fair enough, all right. And I said, I refuse to bring butcher paper to a PD. And she goes, oh, thank God. And so she's having all of this negative energy and negative space. And I'm looking at her and she hates her life. She's complaining about the students. She's complaining about the staff. She's complaining about her upbringing, how she's had the worst upbringing. Nothing's ever gone right in her life. And so I asked her a question. I said, so you clearly don't like working here. She goes, how'd you know that? And I said, can I ask you a question? She goes, what's that? And I said, what are you going to do this year differently to every other year? What are you going to change to make life better? She goes, what do you mean? I said, what are you going to change? She goes, I don't know. I've never really thought about it. And I said, no, seriously, you clearly hate this. Why are you here? She goes, I don't know. So what do you want to do with your life? She goes, well, I'm a painter. I'm really creative. She goes, I've got a studio at home. I do painting and I love it. And I said, so why don't you go and pursue that? And she goes, never really thought about it. And it was so interesting that this lady for 25 years had done the same thing and had never thought about changing who she was. She was sitting there complaining about everyone else in her world that was causing her hell, but had never ever had a moment to reflect upon herself and what needed to change. You know, it kind of reminded me of one of my favorite quotes. We'll get it up on the screen. They say Einstein said this. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Have you ever found yourself in that kind of same position? Ever been through a season in your life where things started really well, everything was going really well, and then it blows up in your face? And you're like, oh my gosh, it happened again. Oh my gosh, I started, it could be a relationship. Maybe you've been in a romantic relationship. You know, you start dating a new person and you're like, things are going so great. And then boom, how do we end up here again? How did this happen again? I can't believe I'm in the same position I was in the last relationship. I talk to teenagers all the time about this sort of stuff. The amount of time I talk to young girls, I go, as I feel like I'm dating the same guy with a different face. It always ends up the same. They start so nice and they end so bad. And my response to them is, what did you do differently this time when you entered the relationship? What did you do differently? Nothing. Every time the answer is nothing. I don't want to change. And I go, do you think you could do something different to make things not end the same way? And there's this thought process in our society today that says, I don't need to change. You need to accept me for who I am. Because if you can't have me at my worst, you can't have me at my best. I'm not going to change. You're all going to change. But you keep getting the same result. And the thing is, when it comes to love, when it comes to being able to follow Jesus, I've got some bad news. Who likes change, by the way? Who likes change? Anyone like change? Okay, about four of you. Great. Who hates change? You're like, I am who I am. I'm not changing. I've got some terrible news for you today. If you've decided to follow Jesus, he requires you to change. In fact, the foundation of following Jesus starts with repentance, which is change. Repentance is acknowledging that I am broken, I'm a mess, and I have to change. In fact, not only that, daily I have to wake up and repent of my sin and constantly work on myself and change. It's the call of Jesus to constantly change. And in the scriptures, Isaiah 64:8 says it like this, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. Other scriptures talk about it. Does the clay say to the potter, this is what you're going to do? You are clay that God wants to change. He wants to work in your life to create something beautiful, but we have to be in a position to accept change. He wants to completely and absolutely take who you were, flip you on your head, and create something way more beautiful than you could create. In fact, in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. In fact, if you decide to follow Jesus, guess what? The guy or the woman that you thought you were has to die. So God can do something powerful in your life, change you from the inside out. You know, one of the greatest lies I believe the world has ever told kids and teenagers and us is this idea, I cannot change. I was born this way. You were born into sin. God calls you to change. You are dead already. God brings you to life. He wants to bring about your spiritual man. It needs to be more of you than your fleshly man. And he wants to change you. He wants to kill off the stuff that is not of God in your life. He wants to stir you up and bring about change. Matthew 16, 24 to 26, Jesus tells his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? When it comes to changing the way we do things, I want to speak into changing everything about who we are. And maybe today is the day that you literally just go, it's my day of change. And I'm going to walk out more like Jesus. I'm going to actually let go of that stuff that has held me back, and I'm going to move towards what Jesus has for me. Today I want to talk about change when it comes to our personal relationships. Change when it comes to our relationship with God. We talk about relationship tune-up, but today I want to talk not about your truth. You know, hey, people meet other people, oh, that's my truth. No, there is no your truth, there is God's truth. And we need to live in God's truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm it. I'm the way to do life. I'm the way you need to approach life. And in regards to relationships, we want to do it God's way. In every form of relationship that we have, from friendships to romantic relationships, we want to do it God's way. The reality is, when it comes to relationships, we've talked about this over the last few weeks. This relationships tune-up, the first 2 weeks, was about a spiritual tune-up, really. About getting your life right with God, taking it seriously. Last week was about family tune-up, and today I want to talk about individual tune-up. Actually, working on our heart and allowing God to change your heart for the better. The reality is, I wish I'd actually been stirred on this in my teen years. Young people, get this. I'm telling you, the world will say, follow your heart, listen to your heart. Whatever your heart says, wrong. Don't listen to your heart. Your heart's messed up. Truthfully, the scripture says this. Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. It's stuffed. Who can understand it? And it says this, I, the Lord, however, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. The truth is, in this life, your heart will lead you astray. I don't know how many times in my teen years I thought I'd met the one. I love you. And then she's going, I don't love you, you know. God told me, no, he didn't, right? You know, like the heart is very deceptive. And so we don't want to follow our heart. We want to follow what God says. We want to know the truth. We want to know what love really is. And when it comes to human relationships, this is one of the hardest things to do because we all fall into the same trap. We all fall into moments in our life where we go, I know God says to do it this way, but this person's really great. This person says they're a Christian. Man, when it comes to dating, we could go on about this, but like, are they a Christian? Do they follow Jesus? Yeah, they say they're a Christian. Well, they're kind of a Christian. Well, they went to church once. Okay, it was a carol service. In 1982. They were one. It was with their parents. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so far down the track because they have some title. They say, well, that's what they are. The truth is, though, when it comes to relationships, we have to be wise because God wants us to get this right. Notice how the scripture I just read says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. I mean, how great would it be if you met people, every person you met, and you could just see their heart and their motive? Who would love that? Now, put up your hand if you'd love that. Really high, but I was going to say, if you love that. Okay, now, who would love to be able to see that in you? Like, I want that superpower. I don't want that superpower. The truth is, though, that's actually how God sees us. He doesn't see our external appearance. He doesn't see how tall or dark and handsome we are. Thank God. Short and stout over here. In fact, in 1 Samuel 16:7, we've heard about this guy, Samuel, who became the high priest after the failure of the high priest. Samuel became the priest, and he actually had to appoint the first king. The first king was Saul, and when he appointed Saul, it says Saul was very handsome, the most beautiful man amongst the people. Just think of Fabio, right? And then he ends up stuffing up, and then God says, go appoint another king. So Samuel's headspace was find another beautiful man. But when he finds David, God has to correct him, and he says this, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks to the heart. The truth is that God's principles apply in many facets, and in regards to relationships, God's principles are the same. We need to work on our heart, the things that are hidden. God's principles are whatever you sow, you will reap. In other words, whatever you put into relationships, you will see a return on that. There will be fruit that comes about at some stage, or there will be thistles and thorns, or there will be something that shows up over time because it will grow. That's why we as individuals, you know, everyone has to change. Everyone else has to change. You all have to change. And God says, no, you have to change. In fact, I want you to examine your heart and have a look at yourself in the mirror and figure out if you're okay. Because that's what I'm looking at. Individually, you know, you can't love your family if you don't love yourself. If you don't even know, maybe you're like, I don't even know what love is. I've never had an example of that for my family. I don't know what it means to go home and love my family. Wouldn't it be great if there was just like a literally, to become a follower of Jesus, there was just a tick box, like a piece of paper. Like we set up the church. Okay, is this there? The toilet paper's there. You know, tick, 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 tick. I'm a Christian. Yep, tick, tick, tick. Okay, I read my Bible. Tick. I tithe. Tick. Okay, I went to Connect Group. Tick. And then you go, I'm a good Christian. My heart's good. But who knows? You can do all those things and your heart can be corrupt. You're like, I wish there was a secret. I wish there was some kind of code in regards to how to follow Jesus. Because reality is, in our life, we can start really well and we can end really badly. And it doesn't take much to set us off course. Has anyone ever heard of the 160 principle before? 160? Any pilots here? The 160 rule simply states, if you are 1 degree off course at the start of your flight, after 60 kilometers, you're 1 mile off course. So it doesn't take much to be completely lost in regards to our heart. Our heart can start pure, but 1 degree off, 1 degree of anger or 1 degree of just a little bit off can lead us in a completely wrong direction. And they say this is the craziest part of the 160 rule. The difference between 1 mile in the air is the difference between over water or into a mountain. You need to be very aware of what's going on in your heart. So how do we check up our hearts? How do we know that we're on track? How do we know that we haven't lost our way in amongst doing all the tick, 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 tick things? How do we go, God, I need to make sure my heart's right? Well, I'm going to challenge you on a prayer. And if you have a notepad or a phone, I want you to write this down, okay? I want you to write down this passage, Psalm 139, 23 to 24. I want you to write down just the passage of scripture. We'll leave it up here. And I want you to pray this every day of this week. It's a challenge in your heart. The psalmist David. David stuffed up a lot, by the way. I mean, he really stuffed up. But he constantly came back to this prayer. He constantly was like, well, God, I humble myself. He goes, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. This week, if you prayed that prayer every day, can I tell you, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you the things he wants to work on. But we need to pray. We need to be proactive in our heart checkup, in a tune-up of our own life. We need to make sure that our heart is in the right space. Because so quickly we are off track. We wander. That's why we're called sheep, okay? And we can get lost, and we can get in a place we don't want to be. And so we need to keep coming back to this. In fact, it's like a checkup at my recent service of my car. I actually really liked it. My latest service, I got an email with a video. Anyone got one of those? The video and the mechanics under my car going, as you can see, you've got no brakes. that needs to be worked on. And they go through. And the reality is they're showing me everything needs to be ticked off so I can last another 10,000 kilometers. Wouldn't it be great if we actually had that for our own heart, though? You will go another couple of years of your faith, another week with Jesus, well, if you just do these things. And I think sometimes we're like, well, there's nothing like that in the Bible. But I want to tell you, I actually believe God gives us a cheat sheet and a tick-off cheat that we can use in our life to make sure our heart is right. Got a photo real quick here. This photo was taken of my very first officiating of a, well, wedding. Beck tells me it wasn't even a wedding, it was a recommitment ceremony. And yes, I wasn't even a celebrant, we pretended, okay? So I've learned since then, now I am a real celebrant, that you shouldn't stand in the photos, okay? So there's me going, oh, gee, they're really making out. Anyway, so, but this is the first one of weddings that I sort of got involved in 2020 with COVID was around, a backyard recommitment ceremony. And since then, I've done a bunch of weddings. And one of the things that I've noticed is that nearly in every wedding ceremony I go to, there's always a passage of scripture that the loved up couple wants to read. You know, they have the passages, the readings. And the one passage that everyone wants to read is the classic passage from 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, we're going to read this right now. If I speak, actually, we're going to go back. Have you got right from the beginning there, Sam? There we go. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. Ultimately, Paul is writing, hey, if I tick all the boxes, go to church, do the religious duties, help the poor, do my charity, do all the things. But if I have not, if I'm not actually a loving person, it's a big zero from God. Like, that's just stuff. You need to have love. But what is God's love like? Because as I said, love is a loaded word these days. I can say I love cheeseburgers. It's not the same kind of love. And so it continues. It says this, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. I actually believe that this list is a bit of a cheat sheet to know if your heart's okay. Let's get it up here. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. In other words, it's not jealous of other people's lives. It doesn't boast. It's not full of itself. It is not proud. How interesting, in a world where we have Pride Month, love isn't proud. See, love is not love. God's love is love. It's different. And by the word proud, it just means I cannot change. But when you love someone, you realize you need to change. If I got married to Beck and didn't change anything, we wouldn't be married anymore. I'm sure of it. Beck would be like, you need to change. And I know Beck has changed too because we love each other. We're working on ourselves. Love doesn't dishonor others. It doesn't backstab. Love isn't self-seeking. It's not full of itself. It's not only about, you know, selfish love. Where one side gets what they want, the other side is left abandoned. That isn't love. Love isn't easily angered. Wow, interesting that anger comes up here. It's like it doesn't crack. It doesn't lose its mind. It doesn't get angry. And love keeps no records of wrongs. In other words, it forgives and forgets. It forgives. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Okay, who would love to experience that kind of love? None of you. I mean, we all want that, right? Now I want to ask you the question, as you look at this passage, who's achieving all of those things? Who is doing this well in every aspect? Anyone nailing it? No one. I was hoping to say, oh, you're full of pride, you know, so, you know. But here's the thing. The reality is only God is love. God is love, right? This is the ultimate. What we see here is a passage of scripture that challenges us to the core to change on a daily basis. Challenges us to be more like Jesus, more like God. And I think if we just chose one of these things in our life and went away this week and said, I need to be more kind. I need to be less angry. I need to not be proud. I need to stop boasting and being full of, I need to work on this area and I need to work on my heart because I know it's an area that I struggle with. When I actually talked to teenagers, I thought it was just going to be teenagers. You know, the number two things that are the ones that people, like I say to teenagers, which one do you need to work on, okay? Number one in every audience, and this is thousands of teenagers, and I did the same thing with some teachers recently, and they answered the same two. The two highest, the ones that they struggle with most was envy, being jealous of other people's lives, and not being easily angered. And I thought, well, they're connected. When you're jealous of someone else's life, it's very easy to get angry and frustrated about what you don't have. But here we are, we have a little cheat sheet, almost like a spiritual mirror to put up in our face that we can go, okay, God, search my heart. Which one do I need to work on right now? The reality is none of us get this perfect, including myself. I want to love as much as I possibly can. And every day I wake up and go, God, how can you help me today? What do you require of me today? You know, one of our church values is that we love always, which is such a big and loaded statement. But we want to love like God loves. And this is God's representation and definition of love. We want to do it well, but it's always hard. And understand that even one of the greatest writers in the scripture still couldn't get everything right. Paul himself writes most of the New Testament. He writes these words in Romans 7:18-20. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. In other words, he's going, I'm at war with myself. Today I started off strong. I wanted to be that guy that loved everyone, then someone cut me off in traffic. Thankfully, we don't have beacon stickers on cars yet, you know. Work on ourselves, you know. Or you start off and you go, yeah, I've got great intentions for today. And then the kids drive you insane. You said you wouldn't get easily angered, but have you met my kids? You know what I mean? Like, that's what people are like. They're like, to you, Az and Beck, they're angels. You should see them at home. But God wants us to work on this. This battle for love and choosing love and choosing God's ways is a fight, but a fight worth fighting for. If we just try and love people in our own strength, we're going to fail. Just like Paul said, my flesh, I'm a fleshly person. I am born into sin. This is my flesh. Daily I wake up and I can do what the flesh wants, okay? But daily, I have to die to the flesh. I have to say, I'm taking up my cross daily. I have to die to it. I have to kill off all of this and say, now I'm going to choose to take on my spirit man, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, clothing me. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to represent Jesus today. And I actually want to be more like Jesus and love like Jesus. And I'm going to choose the spirit over the flesh. When it comes to your relationships, you can use this. Even in regards to if you are starting to date someone, oh, I'm a Christian, I went to church when I was one, you know, the whole thing. You know, really what you're not looking for is a word or a statement, are you a Christian? You're looking for the fruit in their life. How they actually act, how they treat people, how they outwork their faith is actually way more important than the words that they say that I've got a title. It says that if you choose to live by the flesh, if you decide to not kill off the sin in your life, if you don't repent and change daily, there'll be things that show up in your world. And it says this in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. It says, these are the sort of things that will show up. Sexual immorality will be part of your world. Impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred will be in your language. Discord, jealousy, fits of rage will be part of your life. Selfish ambition will be part of your world. Dissensions, factions. You will be envious. You will be jealous of people's lives. You won't be able to enjoy and celebrate their wins because that's the flesh. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. This is the result of not changing and killing off and taking up your cross daily and saying, God, help me be like you. I'm putting that to death. But the beautiful thing is when we choose God, when we repent, we say, Holy Spirit, help me daily. Holy Spirit, help me today be more like you. Help me love like you. It says the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say the fruit of as being good. It doesn't say the fruit of me trying really hard. The fruit of me coming to church and sitting in a pew for half an hour. It doesn't say that. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God's active living Spirit here on earth. The fruit of that being evident in your life will produce this. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it says, against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Keep fighting the good fight, church. Keep rocking up daily. You stuff up today, you stuffed up this morning, get in the car today at midday and say, God, I repent. Kill off that, I want to follow you. Every day, every moment of your life is a new beginning if you want it. A fresh start if you want it. That is the grace of God. And He wants you to live in the Spirit. Keep fighting. In the next chapter, in chapter 6 of Galatians, it says it like this. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those, to the family of believers. The Scripture challenges us to continue to change, to continue to lay our life down, continue to allow God to mold us into the person He wants us to be. We are the clay, He is the potter. We need to submit to Him and surrender and say, God, when I'm trying, it fails. When you're in my life, I know that I can succeed. Change and turning towards God, I mean, it's a challenge, it's hard. Can I say, do it? It's the best thing you'll ever do. You were created for so much more than your sinful nature that will lead to destruction. You know, when we repent, it says of all of heaven, the whole of heaven rejoices. It explodes with joy when we actually change. We turn our life around and we look at our life and we go, this ain't working, it's broken. And we turn our eyes to Jesus and go, I'm following you. All of heaven rejoices, it says in the Scriptures. In Luke 15, 7, I tell you, in the same way, there'll be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Maybe you're here today and going, oh man, is it really that simple? Well, the prophet Ezekiel talks it like this. He says, hey, this is not you just trying to be good. This is a Holy Spirit. This is a spiritual experience that God wants to do in your heart today. He talks about what will happen in your heart when you give your life to Jesus, when you surrender your life, you humble your heart and say, I know I need a Savior. God, I know you love me. You died for me on the cross. You rose again, and I want to follow you. Ezekiel talks about this as a prophetic word for what would to come with Jesus. It says this, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. He's going to give you His Spirit to guide you on the way. You're not alone. Paul pleads with us all to change. Pleads with every person. He's like, you got to get this. This is a good thing for you. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Church, would we allow God to change us this week? Would we allow God to take the wheel? Will we allow God to be the potter? And will we submit to the place of the clay? Let's pray. God, we thank you for the cross. We thank you that you call us to change. You give us an example of what it truly means to love people. You show us your kind of love. You ask for change. You call us to repentance. You want us to turn our lives around for you, Jesus. You don't want us to stay in the same place that leads to destruction. And Jesus, we thank you that it's a free gift, that you died on the cross. We didn't have to. You did it on our behalf. You overcame sin and death once and for all so that we can live for eternity with you, that we can be free of the things that so entrap us, so ensnare us, the sins in this world. God, I pray that we'll be becoming a people that would come back to repentance, that God, we would see the Redlands won for Christ. They would understand that change is important. And with your Holy Spirit, it's possible to turn a life around. If you're here in this place today and you're like, I know what you're talking about. My life's broken. It's messed up. I need Jesus. I need to turn my life around. I need that Holy Spirit. I need to start showing the fruits of the Spirit in my life because at the moment, it's not showing up. If that's you today, I want to pray with you. If you want to accept Jesus, he just loves you so much. It says in the scripture, he loved us while we were still sinners. While we were enemies of God, he loved us. And he loves you. And he wants to extend to you the free gift of salvation. He wants to show you how much he loves you. All you have to do is accept it and say, God, I repent. I'm going to change. I want to turn my life around. I want to follow you. If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand across the room here. If that's you. Yeah, I see that hand. It's awesome. So good. So good, young lady. Yeah. Stirring of the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's going on in your heart right now. This week, I was chatting to a guy who said he went and saw that movie, Unsung Hero, and something was stirring in him. I said, mate, it's the Holy Spirit stirring you. And after a coffee, he made a decision to follow Christ this week. And I was just like blown away. And I'm like, that is what it's all about. And young lady, that's what it's all about, starting fresh with Jesus. If there's anyone else here in this room today that needs to start fresh with Jesus, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Now for the rest of us, maybe God's just calling us back that one degree that we're off track. God's like, this is going to lead to a mountain. This is not going to end well. You know you're just a bit off track. You need to get back on track with me. I want to show you which way to go. I have life, not death in mind for you. If that's you and you're like, God, I just want to recommit my life. I want to change again, come back to you. If that's you, just raise your hands. I can pray with you as well today. Yeah, there's hands all over the place. Amen. We're all going to pray this prayer together today, especially for this young lady. Just pray out loud with me. Dear God, we thank you that you call us to change. Today we repent of our sin and our brokenness. Would you turn our lives around? We choose to follow you and your ways from this day forward. Would you help us love like you? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.